Go ahead and stand for a word of prayer, and then stay standing after that prayer as we sing our opening hymn, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." Hopefully you can say, "I'll be there." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for a sunny day. I know it's a hot and muggy day, but it's June. We praise your name for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for each who have joined tonight to gather with us as we've assembled. We look forward to lifting up our voices in praise to you, Lord, in worship. We look forward to hearing the word of God opened tonight by Eli. We pray, Lord, that our fellowship, our prayers, our praise, our singing, our response to the word of God would be according to the scriptures and glorifying to you, Lord. We certainly pray for those that may be out of town, those that may be sick, not able to be here, those that, Lord, can't be here just because of health reasons and watch faithfully online. May they be encouraged in the Lord as they hear the church singing. No doubt some will join at home as well. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the privilege we have to meet together tonight. We ask your blessing now on the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab that hymnal, Shane comes.
All right, that's 566. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I hope that's your testimony tonight. 566.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the sinner shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the last stanza, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all this wondrous love and care. On earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Eternal Father, strong to save. Hymn number 84.
There we go. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath calmed the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean's deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea.
173. Thank you. Blessed be the name.
All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
All right, 154, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. There we go.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that it a wretch, it's all like me. I once was lost, but now am found. My heart
this side. Yes, right there in the back with the hat. Yes. 504. 504. Oh, say, but I'm glad. 504. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. 42. I will sing of my Redeemer. Hymn number 42.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his kindness love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse who set me free. Sing a song of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the curse and made me free.
156, how can it be? 5156.
When upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
All right, another one more on this side. 213. First Noel. Hey, Laura would be happy with you. 213. Here we go.
The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night. So dear.
All right. Well, good opportunity to sing. There may have been some songs you didn't know. There may have been some that you knew well, and may not have got yours in, but we'll do that again a couple times throughout the year. Always a blessing to lift up our voices in song and praise to the Lord. Well, we're glad to have Mr. Eli Roberts here tonight. Many of you have been in the church for many, many years. Know the Roberts family very well. Eli was a youngster, I think, back when they ended up going to Hickory Street Baptist here with Kurt Underwood, who was also part of this church, to help sort of get that church strengthened here. And so he'd been back before, but glad to have him here in DePaul. But if you don't know the relationships here, Martha here is grandma, Linda is aunt, is that correct? All right, and dad's over here, and there may be some others sprinkled in here that I don't know about, but we're glad to have him here. He's a student ambassador. He may or may not sort of tell you, not everybody knows him, so he may share a little bit about his background, but we're glad to have him here. I think they just got back from a little mini vacation just this afternoon, and we're glad that they're here. That may tie in with the chorus, it may not, all right, but Eli, why don't you come? We're glad to have you here tonight. Open the Word of God, share with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Alrighty, if you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and while you're turning there, I guess I have to explain. So a lot of you have known me since I was shorter than this pulpit, and it feels weird being behind this pulpit now. Before I would get yelled at to be back here. Now I've been asked to be back here. It's a very different change of perspective. But for those of you who know me, I have a girlfriend, and her name is Joy. So that is why Shane so lovingly decided to choose Joy in serving Jesus for you tonight. Thank you. But a little bit about myself. I am in my third year now here at Ambassador. I am taking the three-year theology major. I started as a one-year, and then I swapped to the evangelist, and now I have ended up in the three-year. Ambassador has been a very influential time and part of my life. It has done so much for me since high school. I've grown so much in the Lord. And just looking back at my life in high school and towards the end of middle school, it's just amazing to see how much God has protected me and how much he has grown me from then till now. Just being in his word, hearing more about it, being at the classes from 7 a.m. till 2 o'clock in the afternoon with work dotted in the middle. But it's truly been a great experience. And if you'd please stand as I just read a small passage this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I will be reading verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll be reading verse 9 to 13. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to be together, Lord, to be able to fellowship, to sing praises to your glory and honor. But Lord, we praise you for your word, the truths that are within it, and just for the messages that you give us every day to be able to follow and to learn from. Lord, we praise you for this time. We pray that you would just bless the preaching now and that you would bless the fellowship afterwards, that it may be glorifying and edifying to you. And we just pray now that you would help us all to just be able to have a wonderful time in the presence of one another, in the presence of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My title tonight is Guarding Your Livestock. Something interesting happened about a month or so ago. Someone showed me a video of livestock guardian dogs. And at first I thought, oh, this is a dog person. I know them pretty well. They just want to show me some cool dogs. But it was interesting to see how the guardian dogs were trained to be on the ranch. Ever since a little puppy, they were trained to be able to defend and protect the livestock of the farm, whether it was the cattle, the sheep, the goats, whether it was the full grown or the little ones. And it got me to thinking, what is the livestock in our life we need to be protecting? Well, the livestock is our mind, our thoughts, and our heart. And God is the one protecting us. He is our guard dogs. And I started doing some research on it, on how they train these guard dogs. When they're about, you know, very young, it says from some of my research, when they were almost 8 years old, they would put them in a pen, and they would put livestock with it. Vary the livestock, anywhere from the goat and the sheep to some cattle, but they would always swap out the animal so that the guard dog didn't get attached to any one animal. And they would train the dog to be able to defend these animals at night when the farmers or the ranchers are sleeping. And while I was researching it, it was interesting to find out that at first I was thinking, well, we have to be the guard dogs in our life. That just makes sense. But as I was looking more and more into it, God is our guard dog. He is the one who is protecting us from the evils of this world. To me, temptations have been a very big subject for me that I like to have devotions on and just strengthen myself in. I never think that I can be too strong when it comes to defending myself. I struggled in high school with many different such temptations, and it was not the pleasant times of my life. But God surely did protect me, and in college, He really changed my life around. It wasn't just being at college, being around 100 other students who are also Christians, being in the Bible every day. It was God who changed my life, the messages He had in His Word. Two examples that came to me of temptations were Adam and Eve in the garden, when they were tempted to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the other most example that was most prominent to me was David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when he stays back from going out to war, when he sends his army out, and he sees Bathsheba. And I was thinking of these stories, and those are always the two that pop into my mind when I think of temptations in our lives and what we have to defend against. And it got me thinking, what are some temptations we have to defend against today? Commonly, in younger generation, it's drugs, alcohol, unmarried sex, such other things such as that. Those influences around them every day. Not only is it in some of their parents that are promoting it and saying these are all right things or partaking in it and letting their children in it too, but it's in the schools and in this music and in the videos that are just everywhere today, and it's being bombarded on every side. YouTube has it all over the place. It is absolutely everywhere, and it is so hard to defend yourself. And each and every day, when I get up, I have to pray that God will help me. Help me to withstand all of it. I work at Home Depot, the Home Depot Distribution Center. And there are a number of other saved individuals there that I've come to know and we've talked, but a vast majority of them are unsaved. And just by the music they listen to and seeing them on breaks, you can see the same things in their lives. But it's not them we need to be upset with. It's not the actions they take, but it's the actions themselves that we need to defend against. We don't have to defend against the people, but with what they are trying to get us to do. So the first thing I want to look at here is the danger of temptations. Each of us have our own temptations. For some of us, it might be cookies. For some of us, it might be peanut butter. For some of us, it could be chocolate. I know that's not my father. But there's a wide variety, and it doesn't just have to be food. It can also be things such as smoking, going out and doing drugs, going to some wrong movie or watching some wrong film. Those are just a few of the dangers, and they're around us each and every day. And we have to prepare ourselves for going out there. They're put on billboards, put on YouTube, about anywhere you can look, they decide to put them. But I have taken 1 Corinthians 10:13 as my personal life verse. When you look at it, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." That's already so reassuring. Everything that in my life I have been tempted by is something common. It's not something that I'm the only one dealing with it. I went to school and I was ashamed of the things I had done in high school, and I was afraid that I would have been the only one there. Come to find out, there was a large amount of other men at the college who were willing to put aside their time to disciple me, to help me. They had struggled and had been tempted by the same exact things day by day. And it's absolutely wonderful to know that with the Lord's help, I have not had a struggle with those since the beginning of my college career. And it's just an absolute blessing. But as you continue into the verse, it says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." Isn't that just amazing? God knows our limits. God knows our strengths, our weaknesses. He knows if we can pick up that box that we need to move to the storage room. He knows if we're able to do that 10-hour trip to school or to that hour drive down to work. He knows what we are capable of. But he's not giving us anything we can't get over. He's not giving us anything that he's saying, this is too hard, they're automatically going to fail. No, he's not putting something in your path saying, I know they will fail, I just want to see them do it. I want to have a good laugh. No, he's putting that there so we can be stronger. I believe it is in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Right there, Paul said it. When we are weak, that is when God is giving us his strength. When we cannot overcome that temptation, that is when God is there to defend us. The next point I want to look at is what we need to do to set up these defenses in our life. While I was researching these guardian dogs, since they train them from a young age, and they'll sometimes put them with the older dogs on the ranches or the farms, the ones who are more experienced and know what the job has, they know what the dangers are. Often in most of the videos, you'll see these big dogs. Some of the most popular breeds, the first one it said was the Great Pyrenees. You see these big dogs, and they go off fighting coyotes, wolves, and bobcats, mountain lions. They have faced a whole number of threats, but they have been set up to defend that livestock. And after being trained for some time in the smaller pen with varying amounts and being swapped out of the livestock, then they're put in the bigger pens, and they're started to been give a little more leeway. They're now allowed to be with the entire herd and not just one or two of them. They're now allowed to sleep in the barn where the goats are or where the sheep are. And as they're being trained by these older dogs, sometimes they need to be taught and be humbled. I once saw this video of one of the guardian dogs getting a little too playful with some of the livestock, and one of the older dogs came right over and tackled it, and just sat right on top of it until it realized, I'm not supposed to be playing, I'm on duty. I need to defend these animals. And you see it kind of have this worried look, like, oh no, I just got in trouble. But it's just what they do. They're trained to defend the livestock. And it's also interesting to see that often, some of these times, the dogs will just stand there. They don't necessarily go and hunt the danger. They don't go and find the danger. They are simply waiting for the danger to come to it so they can defend. They're not asking for trouble. And that's another thing we should be doing in our lives. We should not be looking for the temptations and saying, oh, well, I'm big and strong enough. I haven't had any issues with this. I should put myself in a situation. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be saying, all right, what do I need to do today? Well, I think I need to go to the bank and so on and so forth, but I'll be passing the bar and I used to have a drinking issue. Well, let me take this route. It'll put me away from the bar and that won't be a temptation. We should purposely be looking for ways in our lives not to be putting ourselves in those compromising situations. For the longest time in high school, when I was trying of my own strength to get over my issues, one of the biggest issues was I always did it at night, but I have my mother's genes and I like to stay up late. So it was a struggle for me. So I had to start going to bed earlier, and I hated it. I really did, but it helped for a time. I was doing it by my own strength, not by God's. But we can't put ourselves in those compromising situations and think, I'm going to come out on top. God doesn't ask us to go looking for trouble. We don't need to go looking for trouble. Trouble comes and finds me. I have my dad for that. But just in many ways in life, we don't need to say that we are bigger than the problem, but we need to stop and think, my God is bigger than this all. He created me. He knows every little tiny aspect of me. He knows if I'm able to withstand this maybe tiny glimpse of a billboard as I'm driving to work. He knows that might not be an issue for me, but it's still there, but he is there to defend me. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that if I go down the street towards the ice cream parlor, if there's a bar there, he knows that that might be a bigger issue. So maybe he'll put something in your path that you won't realize it at first, but it takes you away from there. Maybe a road is blocked, or maybe there's a marathon going on, so you have to go a couple different streets. God has worked many, many different ways in my life to help me overcome the challenges within my life. But thirdly, after training our defenses, you have to keep relying on them each and every day. It's not simply enough to build a wall and say, this wall is going to stand forever. At our house, we have added many things on. We have fixed up many parts. But we have to keep going back over and fixing them over and over again. The one time I broke, I can't remember what it was. I remember it was a small sort of desk I had in my room. And I broke it. So I borrowed some duct tape and I taped it up and I said, that'll hold. About a week later, I broke it again. So I put more duct tape on. But I had to keep going back and fixing it. I wasn't trying to figure out any problem to repair the integrity of the desk. It was still weakened just with a temporary patch. But each and every day, we should be going back and saying, how can I make my defenses stronger? How can I keep them stable? One way is putting on the armor of God. It says that we are supposed to put it on each and every day to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. I mean, how else are we supposed to defend yourself if you're not wearing any armor? Into war, they always have, nowadays, they're wearing bulletproof vests and about two other layers underneath, and they'll always find the most tactically safe position. They're not standing out in the middle of the open saying, here I am. They're behind some sort of cover, whether it's a wall, a sandbag, or just some sort of mound of earth. They're not looking to get hit. They're looking to defend themselves. They're looking to bolster up their defenses. But in my opinion, the fourth and most important thing is not relying on ourselves for those defenses. In high school, when I kept saying I could do this of my own strength, usually it would be about a week later when I kept saying, I've been doing so well with this. Things are going great. I was getting excited. I mean, it was a good thing. I was beating it. But I was beating it. Not God and his strength. Me and my mortal flesh strength. And about a week later, the same issue would happen again. And I would get frustrated. I would get depressed. I would get angry. Not just at myself, I'd get angry at everything. There were times where I was a little upset with my parents, not because they did anything, just because I was in a foul mood. But that's what happens with temptations. Because you give in to the temptation, there are side effects. Not only are you falling to sin, but others get hurt because of it. If you look at the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you see that because he wanted to be wedded to Bathsheba, her husband died. He sent him to the front lines and pulled back the rest of the army because he knew that man would die in that fight. He was not the only one to get hurt by it. We all know that in the story that David and Bathsheba lost their child. But also as a side effect of his actions, that man died. Not because he had to, but because that's what the sin brought forth. And to me, there is nothing more important. And even at school, they have reissued it again and again and again. Before we leave for every break, the Dean of Men has said so many times, if we need to call him over the summer or over Christmas break or over Thanksgiving, he will be right there for us if we need help. Because he knows the struggles himself. He knows that temptations, while they may seem like something harmless, like a single cookie in a cookie jar, there are major repercussions. There are major consequences to each and every one of our actions. We might not see it all right there and then. We may think that, oh, well, this one little thing happened from my action, and that's it. But we may not see what happens after that. Not PPNL. PennDOT doesn't see all the repercussions of potholes, but they see a pothole and say, oh, we'll just let it sit there. Nothing bad's going to happen. And by the time they get to fixing it, it's about a 3-foot sinkhole that half a car fits in. It's insane. But it's just, temptations have been such a big point in my life that have just been a reoccurring theme. And to me, there is nothing more detrimental than giving in to your temptations. Nothing more consequential, nothing more harmful. During high school, I did not have the best relationship with my parents. Many times I was upset with them, I was rebellious. I didn't want to do what they told me, even if it was simply taking out the trash. And that was a repercussion of my actions. While I didn't realize it at first, now I do. I look back and say, wow, I was a real class one jerk. I was so rude to my parents, I didn't even want to give them the time of day when they were trying to help me. They were going out of their way each and every day to say, now Eli, are you struggling with anything? And I just sit there, no, I'm okay. And then if they kept bugging me, I'd be like, no, I'm fine. And then we'd get to a point where sometimes we argued about it. I would yell at them because I was frustrated with them pushing the point, because I didn't want them to know I was struggling. I didn't want them to know that their son had fallen to temptations. It's not easy to admit for any person in the world because of our pride. We want to say that we are strong enough to overcome these challenges. And when we fall to them, it's embarrassing to have to go to somebody else and say, I messed up. I made a mistake. I did something wrong. No one wants to admit they were wrong. No one wants to admit they sinned. But it's just the facts of getting things straight. And if the one thing I can say from 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10 and verse 13 is the end of the verse. But with the temptations also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then in verse 14 he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. So if there's any main point of my message tonight, it's that temptations, however harmless they look, however small or big they are, whether it's a small coyote trying to get the farmer's sheep, or whether it's a large bobcat prowling around the perimeter and the guard dogs have to defend against it, temptations are everywhere. And there's only one answer. It's not your strength putting limitations on yourself, saying, well, if it's just the bar I'm struggling with, then I will detour around every bar. Eventually, you will fall if that's the only thing you are doing. If the only thing you are saying is, what can I personally do to defend against it? The only answer is to go to God. That's what it took in my life to defend against those temptations, to overcome those trials. So I implore you, if you're struggling with anything, find someone else. I have so many reliability partners at school now. I have my roommates from my first semester. I have at least two or three of my professors that I can go to and say, look, I've been struggling a little bit. It's really been hunting me down. As soon as I came back from this past semester, Satan immediately started throwing fiery darts at me. Well-placed advertisements, well-placed billboards, little things here and there trying to degrade me, trying to get me to fall again. You know how I withstood it? God's word. In my weakness, God was strong. In my trials, God was able to stop me from falling. He was able to cover up the potholes so I could drive over. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the truths that are in your word. We thank you for just the ability that you give to us to be able to overcome the trials of our life, to be able to withstand Satan's fiery darts. We just pray now, Lord, that as we leave this place this evening after the fellowship, Lord, that you would just help us to be able to just go to you in prayer each and every day. Lord, even if we are struggling with something so small, we just pray that we would have the strength to be able to come to you and humble ourselves before you and say, God, I need your strength. I need your mercy. I pray that you would help us just to be your children, your followers, to go to you each and every day to strengthen ourselves in your word. And Lord, we just pray now that as we all go our separate ways from here, that you would give us safety, that you would give us safety as we travel, safety as we go to work this week, and Lord, that we may have the opportunity to witness to someone this week, that we may have the chance to share the word with them. We pray now that you would just bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to chew on that message. Temptations, they come. They don't stop when we get older. It's because we're saved or get more seasoned. They continue to come. The devil can send them, our flesh, the world. How are you doing? God laid that message on our brother's heart. Didn't tell him what to preach. He doesn't know most of you or half of you or who'd be here, who's visiting. So that message is from God tonight. So in the area of temptation or trials, if you've got to, you've been battling some things, and you know it is, can be humiliating, especially as an adult. We don't like to admit that we fall or we battle things, our thought life or our vision or music or friends or anger or bitterness or whatever it may be. As the pianist begins to play here, just softly a stanza or two, if God's worked in your heart, heads bowed, eyes are closed, just between you and the Lord, maybe you need to confess some things, say, Lord, I need help, forgive me. Sort of like Eli there, I was proud, said I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. And you're falling, and you keep falling, and God says you need to humble yourself and come to me. Maybe you live with regret, and you're always looking back on the past and remembering the things you used to do. God's forgiven you. You've asked forgiveness, and it's been covered. And yet, maybe that's the temptation. The devil constantly haunts you with your past, and you beat yourself up. Maybe you just need to trust the word of God, what it says. I'll remember your sins no more. Claim the scriptures. I don't know what it may be, perhaps a particular besetting sin. Perhaps pride that, no, I don't have any problems. We saw that passage, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just give you a moment to do some business with the Lord there in the pew. Maybe it's time to get some guardians. The Lord, the word of God, but to get an accountability partner. Share with your spouse. I don't know what it may be, a good friend. Father, we thank you for the word that was preached tonight, and thank you for what you laid on Brother Eli's heart, Lord, for our church family, for each one of us. Lord, as adults and those who have been saved for many years, we're sharing with the younger people, do temptations get easier? Do they lessen? Do we still struggle, Lord? The answer would be perhaps different from everyone, but Lord, the temptations continue. Our flesh is always with us. The world continues to try to conform. The devil always active. And yet, Lord, we can achieve victory through you, through the word of God. We can put safeguards up. We thank you, Lord, that you are our shield and our defender, our rock and our fortress as believers. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that every believer has to convict and to guide us and direct us. And yet, Lord, we are weak and we fall and we fail often. So, Lord, help us, I pray, to cling to the promises of the word of God. Lord, to not let our failures linger. To confess those to you as soon as possible, to get that forgiven and back on the road to victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what we can bear and what we can handle, and that, Lord, you have always provided a way, Lord, to be able to handle it, to escape it. Thank you, Lord, again for our brother. May you continue to help him this summer as he works. Prepares to go back to Bible college. Give him wisdom and direction in the past that you would have for him as he prays about the future. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I'll ask the blessing now for our time of fellowship as we head downstairs to enjoy some fellowship and some ice cream. Lord, we don't want to take that for granted. Thank you that we can do that as a church family. Thank you for all that we have here in this great country, America. May your blessing be upon our fellowship and our eating. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.